Today's lesson, Dancing with Shiva. What is the nature of the Jnanapada? Jnana is divine wisdom emanating from an enlightened being, the soul in its maturity immersed in Sivanas, the blessed realization of God while living out earthly karma. Jnana is the fruition of yoga tapas. The instinctive mind in the young soul is firm and well knit together. The intellectual mind in the adolescent soul is complicated, and he sees the physical world as his only reality. The subsuperconscious mind in the mystically inclined soul, well perfected in Kriya, longs for realization of Shiva's two perfections, Satchidananda and Parashiva. Through yoga, he bursts into the superconscious mind, experiencing bliss, all-knowing, and perfect silence. It is when the yogi's intellect is shattered that he soars into Parashiva and comes out a Jnani. Each time he enters that unspeakable Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he returns to consciousness more and more the knower. He is the liberated one, the Jivanmukta, the epitome of Kaivalya, perfect freedom, far-seeing, filled with light, filled with love. One does not become a Jnani simply by reading and understanding philosophy. The state of Jnana lies in the realm of intuition beyond the intellect. The Vedas say, having realized the self, the rishis, perfected souls, satisfied with their knowledge, passion-free, tranquil, these wise beings, having attained the omnipresent on all sides, enter into the all itself. The key idea here is the Saiva Siddhanta concept of Jnana. That's what this is talking about. Jnana is a very general term in Hinduism, just means wisdom, Jnana. And one of the practices in Vedanta is Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga is a meditation based on scripture, scriptural reflection and meditation. So you're starting with scripture, the Upanishads, and reflecting upon the meaning of it. But Jnana in Saiva Siddhanta is just realization, achieved not through reading scripture and reflecting upon it, but achieved through Raja Yoga or meditation. So that's what Gurudev is stressing here. It is when the yogi's intellect is shattered that he soars into Parashiva and comes out a Jnani. So a yogi becomes a Jnani through realizing Parashiva, through realization, through experience. It's not based upon scriptural study. One of the reasons Gurudeva stresses this, one does not become a Jnani simply by reading and understanding philosophy, is that sometimes those on the path of Vedanta get stuck in the intellect and understanding philosophy through the intellect. They get stuck there, not the profound swamis, but just the regular followers, because it is a path that involves scriptural study, and because the world is very intellectual these days, it's easy to end up in the intellect only. A more realistic goal is improvement. We have 10 arguments a year right now. Let's get it down to 5. You know, we get it down to 5. Let's try and get it down to 2. You know, we just move forward realistically. Otherwise, we get the sense we're failing. Whereas actually we're improving, but we're not looking at it the right way. We set the goal too high. Meditation is the same way. If you set your goal too high, you feel you're not doing well. But the goal is to improve. Steadily improve, like anything else. We want steady, consistent improvement. That's called progress. Or, in other words, the only failure is to fail to try again. Now, we don't want the sense, oh, I failed, just because we did something we were trying not to do. The failure is to stop trying not to do it. As long as we're trying to break a bad habit, trying to improve, then we haven't failed. We fail when we stop trying. trying to find a quote from Benjamin Franklin. I didn't quite find the quote I wanted, but it was a good one here. It says, I guess he was trying to do an experiment. He says, I didn't fail the test. I just found 100 ways to do it wrong. He's still trying. In other words, he hasn't given up. He's still trying to solve the problem, and now he's going to try the 101st way, the 102nd way, 103rd way, and he has the right attitude. He can't think of himself as failing. He's just finding all the ways you can't be successful at it. Now the sutras for the day. Siva's devotees keep strong and healthy by exercising at least 1/2 hour each day through such activities as brisk walking, swimming, dancing, salutations to the sun, hatha yoga, and vigorous work. So we all know that, but sometimes we don't do it. But very important, not just for the health of the physical body, it also just keeps us, keeps us dynamic in our mind. We're more alert, able to handle experiences that come to us in life with more centeredness when we exercise. When we don't exercise, it's easier to get a little emotional when we respond to something that we don't want to have happen. As you know, the key is whatever happens, if you're able to accept it, you don't get upset about it. It's wishing it didn't happen that's very upsetting. I wish this didn't happen. Why did that have to happen? Why did this person have to do that? If we can accept that it happened, then we don't get as bothered by it. Oh, then this goes on in the merging with Shiva. Talking about identifying intuition. Well, I'll just read that because we talked about it not that long ago. But I might add that the first impulse must have registered itself as cold and clear, direct and profound. Only if it did would it have indelibly imprinted itself within your memory patterns, clear and sharp, thus distinguishing itself clearly from all warm emotional feelings that appear to be reasonable and totally in line with the current pictures of the day. So intuition comes in a very cold and clear way. It stands out that way once you learn how to figure out what's cold and clear. It just has a different sense to it than our normal thoughts. And our normal thoughts tend to follow certain patterns, whereas intuition would break the pattern. We'd be thinking about something in a different sequence or in a different way than we normally do, and that way gives us a clue. It could be an intuition. And then Gurudeva gives us this important point. Though we often use the terms unfolding intuitive faculties and developing intuition, they are only used in an effort to encourage the aspirant on the path to work within himself in subduing his intellect so that he can actually observe the already functioning totality of the intuitive area of the mind. That's the important point, is it's always functioning, we're just not aware of it. Or even if we're aware of it, we don't clearly identify it for what it is, and therefore we don't act on it. Oh, intuition is generally of no value if we don't act on it. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.